Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. So, I know you've been watching this very carefully. It's been on the tip of your tongue all this election season. But what you might not have known is that every 6 years in Congress, in theory, lawmakers sit down and hammer out a massive transportation bill. The idea is for the bill to outlast congressional terms, so it becomes more policy-oriented and less about politics. But a bit of background, the Highway Trust Fund, the Federal Highway Trust Fund, is broke, and it has undergirded much of the bill's spending. The gas tax, which is about 18 cents a gallon, hasn't been raised since 1993. And the last time the bill was supposed to be reauthorized was in September of 2009, but the Obama administration asked for an 18-month punt. It seemed to them that rather than getting into these complicated issues, it would be easier to take up the bill in March 2011. But Washington seems more divided and partisan than ever. Congress doesn't seem in much of a mood to tax or spend. And meanwhile, the likely incoming chair of the House Transportation Committee, John Mica, a Republican of Florida, says he'd like to revisit the whole U.S. high-speed rail program. In this environment, what's in store for transportation in the U.S. Congress? Joining me to discuss this is U.S. Representative Gerald Nadler, Democrat of Manhattan and Brooklyn, and the highest-ranking New York representative on the House Transportation Committee. Welcome.
Good morning.
Listeners, before we go to Congressman Nadler, I'd like to take your calls, and I'd like to know how you think transportation spending should be funded. Maybe you'll have some ideas that Congressman Nadler can take back to Washington with him. Do you think the gas tax should go up? What about more tolls? What are your ideas? 212-433-9692. 212-433-WNYC. You can also comment on itsafreecountry.org. We'd like your ideas. So, Congressman, even the chairman of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, Jim Oberstar of Minnesota, who really pretty much everybody thought was safe, was defeated this week. What does this all mean?
Well, I'm not sure it means anything in particular about transportation. It was part of the general sweep by Republicans. No one thought that Jim Oberstar was particularly in danger. It was a real surprise. But it even reached to his district. It's a real loss for Congress. Jim Oberstar, who served on the staff of the Transportation Committee in the House before he was elected to Congress in 1974 and has been on the committee ever since, and knows more about transportation than anybody else in Congress will ever learn. And it's a real loss to the whole country that he lost. Beyond the fact he's a Democrat, just in terms of knowledge and expertise in transportation, it'll be really missed.
So, he lost. He was a big advocate for transportation.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly know that there were many times that he held joint press conferences with Representative Mica of Florida,
yes,
where they both talked about the need for more transportation spending.
Yes, the Transportation Committee has generally, with some exceptions, but in general has been much more bipartisan than most other committees in the Congress. Obviously, there are differences in emphasis between the two parties, but on transportation matters, certainly it's been very bipartisan. We, for instance, the committee voted out on almost unanimously, I don't recall, in the spring of 2009 of last year, we reported out a complete rewrite of the transportation law, another six-year authorization. It didn't go anywhere because the Obama administration asked for an 18-month delay, which was unfortunate. But the committee reported out a $450 billion bill, on a pretty much bipartisan, a totally bipartisan basis.
This is something that, as you say, Mr. Mica supported. I wonder how, given, you know, the number of Tea Party members that were elected to the House of Representatives this year, and, you know, the general dismay at spending. I mean, you know, the stimulus bill, there was a lot of anger directed towards that. I mean, I don't think people were angry about the tax cut provisions, but most people don't really seem to know that the stimulus included a lot of tax cuts. But given this environment, how do you sort of, you know, put Humpty Dumpty back together again and come back to Congress?
It's unclear what the Republicans are going to do. The facts are we must have a bill like this. The American Society of Civil Engineers estimates there's a $2.2 trillion backlog in infrastructure maintenance and repairs that has to be done in this country. That's not just transportation. It's also water systems. The $450 billion, in fact, in 1997, when we passed the transportation bill two times ago, we mandated that the transportation secretary come back in 2002 and tell us the minimal size of federal spending necessary in the ensuing 6 years to maintain the system, and never mind new starts, but to maintain the system at a reasonable level of safety. And President Bush's transportation secretary came back and told us in 2002, $375 billion over 6 years. So we designed on a bipartisan basis, the committee did, a $375 billion bill. And then President Bush came and said he'd veto anything above 256. Why 256? Because that's what the gasoline tax was expected to bring in. So we ended up with a $286 billion bill. Now we've designed a $450 billion bill plus $50 billion for high-speed rail. And that's the minimum we must do, or our highways and bridges are going to become unsafe.
So how does it get paid for?
Well, that's unclear. The problem with the gasoline tax is that it's not a sales tax. It's not 18%. It's 18 cents per gallon. So you're paying 18 cents on a gallon, whether gasoline is $1.50 or $4.50. And the only way you get more revenue is if you use more gallons. All our public policy is designed to say, save gasoline, use fewer gallons. We want to be more energy independent. So it's a policy in collision with itself. Now, if we use the same number of gallons, then it's $256 billion, but that's inflated money because every year it buys less and less. You cannot maintain the system simply on the gasoline tax as is. Now, there are three alternatives. One, increase the gasoline tax. Two, make it inflation sensitive. Say it's 18 cents a gallon, but as the gasoline price goes up, or maybe as the cost of living goes up, it increases by that percent, 3% a year or whatever, or three, bring in some other revenue source. There are no alternatives. Otherwise, our roads and bridges and highways and eventually mass transit systems will gradually become unsafe and fall apart.
What other revenue sources are there?
Well, there are any number of others. It's all a question of what you want to do politically. You could, for instance, say that every shipping container that comes into the country has a certain tax on it and devote that to the Highway Trust Fund. Millions of other potential taxes that are not necessarily transportation-related. But that's a question of fiscal policy and politics.
So are you going to sit back and wait for the Republicans to develop the idea?
No, we'll probably try to do it on a bipartisan basis. The problem is, in the committee, we probably could, but then the Republican leadership is going to have to determine that, and the administration, because the Republican leadership is going to have to sign off on any adjustment of taxes at all. And they want to do a $100 billion reduction in non-defense discretionary spending, which is about a 20% reduction in 1 year. They've said that. Now, forgetting the devastating effect that would have on the economy and on social services, et cetera, if they want to do that, it's hard to see how they're going to do increasing transportation funding as part of that.
Do you have any regrets about any of the legislation that's been so controversial in this Congress? The stimulus, should it have been structured differently?
The stimulus should have been structured differently. It should have been far larger, first of all. It was too small to do the job. The estimated shortage in aggregate demand was $2.2 trillion. The stimulus was $770 billion, but 70 of that was simply an annual fix for the alternative minimum tax, which had nothing to do with the stimulus bill. They just shoved it into the bill. About $300 billion of that was tax cuts, which are a nice thing to do, but are not particularly stimulative to the economy. And a lot of the rest of it was offset by spending cuts at the state and local level. The net stimulus was probably about $400 billion. It should have been at least twice as large to get us out of the hole we're in the economy. And secondly, as I said, it wasn't properly targeted. A lot of the tax cuts were not very stimulative. My regrets are that
Why not? I mean, the Obama administration really thought this through, and they really believe that if you gave people a bump in their weekly paychecks by having a small sort of, you know, tax cut come out every week rather than the preferred Bush administration method, which was just send a check to everybody, that that would increase spending. Why not? Why hasn't it?
Well, it did increase spending, but it's not as stimulative as other things you could have done. I mean, it's stimulative. I don't have the chart in front of me, but the economists have a pretty good idea. They can tell you that for this kind of stimulus or spending, you get $1.31 return for a dollar, and on that kind, you get $1.69, and for that kind, you get 31 cents. This is among the less stimulative kinds. We could have done a lot more, and the point is, the whole thing was far too small. Now, every economist will tell you, and I fault the president for not blaring this in the headlines all the time, every economist will tell you that the stimulus bill reduced unemployment by 2 to 2.5% from what it otherwise would have been. Unfortunately, when the president signed the bill, he said this would hold unemployment to 8%. Unemployment would have gone to 12.5%. We held it to 10, but it was too small, and he overpromised, which destroyed credibility in saying that the stimulus worked. Now, there is no way, when you have zero interest rates, essentially, which we do from the Federal Reserve, I mean, people are paying more on credit cards and stuff, but the banks are borrowing at zero interest. When you have a zero interest rate environment, there is no way of getting the economy moving except through government spending. We know of no other way.
We need to take a couple of calls because we have almost full phone lines of people's ideas on how to fund the next transportation bill. But we're getting a lot of calls about high-speed rail. And I know Mr. Micah has said he wants to review the whole system, take a look at some of these grants that have been handed out. Bring us up to date, if you will. I mean, can the system be rerouted now, as it were, and can you sort of change the funding priorities for the federal government?
Well, not rerouted geographically, rerouted in terms of where the money goes and comes, yes. First of all, not that much money has been handed out on high-speed rail, so you don't need a lot of rerouting if you want to change it. We haven't done that much. We proposed $50 billion for high-speed rail money in the bill that we haven't passed yet. The administration has proposed more. There was $8 billion in the stimulus bill for high-speed rail, some of which has been handed out, some of which has not. But the cost of high-speed rail for any large system is immense. And, yeah, you can design it almost from start at this point.
You think that's going to happen?
I don't know. Micah is a proponent of high-speed rail, but he's also a proponent of much more privatization, of especially the Northeast Corridor. And we'll see how that goes. That's a very different idea.
All right, let's take some calls. Alan from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on WNYC with Congressman Jerry Nadler.
Good morning. First, thanks for your great work, Congressman.
Thank you.
One thing that's almost never discussed, probably because media and politicians get so much money from real estate interests, is the need to ask real estate owners in the areas around transit stations to pay their fair share for the upkeep of the system, especially since they benefit so much in enhanced land value, also because the system relies on public subsidies. Why should we be relying on general taxpayers, drivers, and strap hangers, but not asking those who use transit systems like elevators to make their buildings workable?
All right, Alan. Well, let's get an answer, and I'm going to
principle that the caller enunciated is quite correct. Everyone who benefits, if it's a user fee, whether it's the fare, which is a user fee, or anything else, ought to pay. Now, in New York, we've certainly done that. You can argue whether we've done it enough, but we've done that. We have mortgage recording tax. We have other taxes on employers in the MTA area that are dedicated to the MTA, to transportation. Whether it should be more or less is really an issue for the state and local governments, which control real estate and other things like that, and taxes.
Is there any federal role for that, or is that purely a local issue?
That's purely local, really. There's nothing that says the federal government couldn't do it, but it's historically property taxes have always been local.
All right, let's take one more caller. Antonio from Park Slope, we've got about 30 seconds.
Hi, Congressman Nadler. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Basically, I think instead of using the monies for like a big project, maybe it should be consolidated more to like a regional, smaller projects, like, you know, to reduce sprawl and emissions from cars, get people out of cars, and maybe you can just fund it by, like, making a campaign where you directly go to the voters and say, this is something that we're going to do and that you have to be a part of it because it's your responsibility as a citizen to do that. Like, make it, like, you know, throw it back to the people and you would have to be.
Is that the future, Congressman Nadler? Smaller local projects?
Say again?
Is that the future, sort of, to get to for the immediate future? Is that what we're talking about, sort of smaller local projects rather than these big, expensive federal ones?
The local projects are not necessarily smaller. I don't think we're going to be building new major new highways in the future. Rail is a different question. High-speed rail, we should do, obviously. But most of your high-cost projects are local, like the tunnel that Governor Christie just canceled between Manhattan and New Jersey. That's a local project in one sense. It's highly important to the entire region economically. It's very upsetting that it was canceled. So it's an expensive project, but it's local. Ditto fixing or replacing the Tappan Zee Bridge. You're talking probably $10, $12 billion. It's got to be done at some point. The bridge is going to fall apart at some point, and you can keep it going by rubber bands only so long.
On this project, on the ARC transit tunnel from New Jersey, voters thought that was a good idea. They thought 51-39, according to an Eagleton poll, that Christie made the right choice, not spending this amount of money at this time in history. What do you think that means going forward?
It means it wasn't properly explained, I think, and the publicity wasn't there. I mean, the fact of the matter is, not building that tunnel, or some version of it. I didn't like the version that was planned. You could have done it better, but not building some version of that tunnel to increase rail capacity from New Jersey into New York is going to have two effects. Number one, it's going to mean a larger percentage of the people who work in New York City in finance, insurance, real estate, and so forth, they're going to live in New York rather than New Jersey, which is going to help New York and hurt New Jersey, which is why the governor of New Jersey probably should not have made that decision. But second of all, it's going to put an upward lid on economic development for both New York and New Jersey. And you're ultimately going to have less tax revenues and less economic activity and fewer jobs.
All right,
more of the business is going to be in Boston or London or someplace.
We have to end it there, so we will see Congressman Nadler whether the next Congress and the next president, part of the president administration, will do a better job, as you say, of selling these things. Stay tuned. That was Congressman Gerald Nadler. We've been talking about the future of transportation in the 112th Congress. When we come back, does Connecticut have a governor yet? We'll find out.